Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
It's a joy to be at Dominion Church. We've looked forward to this assignment, and we anticipate what God's going to do today. We have two grandchildren. Our youngest granddaughter is, she's 2 weeks old. So we got to update our bio, don't we, babe? She is the joy of our life. And I just want to say to Spencer and Cody, Jill and I will be at the service next Saturday, the awards ceremony, so I'm sure we'll see you all there. 20 years I judged Fine Arts Festival and got to judge alongside Waydeen and Pastor Dina, and we had some times. We've got some stories, but I won't take time to share all of those with you today. But you guys are very, very talented, and wow, you as a church, I have to say this before I get into the message, Dominion has always produced probably some of the greatest quality, not just the Thurstonson girls, but some of the quality that sets a standard for excellence in our district, and it's attributed to this lady over here. Wow. When I talk with Pastor Thurstonson about coming, I've got to tell you our history. We were at Southwestern together as students, and he lived across the hall from me. I know that I look much older than him, but we really were together at school, and we had some wonderful times, and I love Greg and Dina more than you'll ever know. I respect them as leaders of our fellowship, and I've appreciated this opportunity. When I knew I was coming to Dominion Church today, because Jill and I don't get to pastor a local congregation, we did for 20 years, but when the Lord gave us this new assignment a year ago, we now travel to almost 300 different churches in South Texas. And we love the opportunity, but when I asked Pastor Greg, what theme do you want me to stay with, he said, he gave me an assignment, and that was okay. I'm okay with that. But what I told Jill this morning, this message I've never preached before. I've not even had time to develop any kind of visual aids for you, so you'll have to participate kind of old-fashioned today. Is that all right? So grab your Bibles and go with me, and keep your Bible open through the duration of the message today. And this is going to develop into a series. You're not going to get it all today, so some of you can relax. But, you know, when the Lord begins to give you something, sometimes it develops into much more than just one setting. And so you can pray for Jill, because she'll get the whole series as we travel around the district, Lord willing. But how many of you are familiar with the treadmill? A treadmill has an ability to get you moving fast without taking you anywhere. Some folks find themselves on a spiritual treadmill, running to and from church, running to and from worship, running to and from seminars, to and from classes, to and from religious activity, only to discover that when it's all said and done, you're stuck in the same place that you started. And it wasn't because there wasn't movement, wasn't because you were probably moving fast, wasn't because you weren't even sweating. Some people ask, how can I be reading my Bible or praying or involved in religious activity and still feel so stuck? Well, I want to tell you today, it's all related to the Holy Spirit. If you've got your Bible, look to the book of Acts with me, chapter 1. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to enable progress in our spiritual lives. Activity without the Holy Spirit is much to do about nothing. It's to function mechanically. It's not to be able to flow, because there's no power. One of the great statements that Jesus makes about the Holy Spirit is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. And I want you to see this. I want you to keep your Bible open, because I want the Holy Spirit. I've asked Him to reveal something different to you today. Do you realize that the book that you're holding in your hand is the only book that you possess that every time you open it, the author's present? So He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You shall receive power. Jesus makes an astounding statement about this person called the Holy Spirit. He says about him that he is the battery for the Christian life. In all of our cars, we have batteries and that supply power to the engines of our car, our vehicles, in order to give us progress, in order that we might move, in order that we might go somewhere. The engine without the battery means that you're going to stay in the garage. You shall receive power. And this power will come from the third member of the Trinity. The Trinity speaks about this three-in-oneness of God. God being many, God being one. But the Bible declares that this one God is composed of three equal persons. The best way I can think to describe it or to illustrate it is a pretzel. You got a pretzel and you got three holes. The first hole's not the second hole. Second hole's not the third hole. But they're all tied together by the same dough. One pretzel, three holes. One God, but three distinct beings. All the beings tied together by the same essence, by the same nature, by the same divine attributes and perfection. First of all, Jesus makes a statement, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Look at it. He says, but you will receive power. You don't have it yet. You're going to get it. He prophesies a provision of power here. Now, I want you to see something. Now, this is not the first time that they've heard this. Go with me now in your New Testament back to the book of John. John chapter 14. They heard this earlier. A few pages back, John chapter 14. It ties to the provision of power. In John chapter 14, Jesus is teaching his disciples because he's about to die. He's about to leave them. And he says to the disciples, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he will be with you forever. Who is this helper? Look at verse number 17. It is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or it does not know him, but he abides with you and will be with you and in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Now, to appreciate this passage, you've got to understand that Jesus had been with the disciples for 3 years. They had walked with Jesus. They had talked with Jesus. They had seen him. They had engaged with him. They had bonded with him. And now Jesus says, guys, I've got to go. Now, this throws these guys a curveball and into turbulence because the question is, well, we barely made it with you here. Now look at it. Look at this passage. How in the world are we going to make it, Jesus, if you're not here? Look at all the struggles that we've had, and you've been here. I mean, we've been doubting, and you're standing right in front of us. How in the world are we going to make it when you're gone? And Jesus takes them to the upper room, and he says, don't worry about it, because I'm going to send you another helper. Now, there are two words here that you got to see, another and helper, okay? Two words, another and helper. The two words for the Greek word another means another of a different kind, or another word translated, another of the same kind. The Greek word that's used in verse number 16 of John says another is the Greek word translated another of the same kind. So I'm going to send you somebody else, but the somebody that I'm going to send you is going to be just like me. But neither am I going to give you help that's not up to my standards. Now, I want you to understand this today. The word help comes from the Greek word pronounced paraclete. It means one who comes alongside and assists or enables. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you somebody who is likened unto me, and this one is going to come alongside you. He's going to help you. He's going to enable you. He's going to assist you, and he will be the Spirit of truth. Now, John chapter 16, verse 25, read it with me. These things I've spoken unto you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring, here it is, bring to your remembrance all that I've said. When the help comes, even though I'm not going to be with you, he's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now, that's no small feat. Think about it. Many of the books of the New Testament were written some 30 plus years after Jesus died. Okay? Look at the book of Revelation. It was written by John the Apostle in 90 AD. Jesus died in 33 AD. So you've got decades later, books being written by apostles who had to remember what Jesus said to them. The books of the New Testament are written after Jesus dies. So how am I going to remember all the stuff that was taught to me and I only had lessons for 3 years? Don't worry, I'm going to give you, Jesus said, another helper. And the helper is going to bring back to all your memory the things that I taught you, the things that I spoke to you, and the things that you learned from me. In other words, you're not going to pull off what I want you to do on your own human ingenuity. And neither are you, Dominion. By your own human memory, by your own human ability. I want to say to the students that are getting ready to head off to fine arts, it's not going to be about you. I used to say this to my girls, and Dina knows they participated for years. I would say to them, and Abby, our youngest daughter, used to love Babby Mason songs, and the range was perfect for her, so every year she would do a Babby Mason song. And she said, every year I would pull Abby aside, I'd pull Jordan aside, and I would say, that song may have belonged to Babby Mason. That song may have belonged to C.C. Winans as the originator, but today it's yours. And you allow the Holy Spirit to be portrayed through you in everything that you say and do, because it's not going to be about you. He said somebody's going to come alongside you that's going to assist you, who's going to teach you, who's going to remind you. Flip over one page to chapter 16, verse number 13 of the book of John. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, in chapter 14, He says, I'm going to give you all truth. But in chapter 16, He says, I'm going to guide you in all truth. In other words, He's going to be the steering wheel of your life. He's going to drive you where He wants you to go. In fact, You can't figure out where you need to go next, but that's going to be a problem, because Jesus says, I'm going to assign you a driver. Now, I hope you're understanding this today. This is so elementary. I know, Pat, if you're a visitor today, please come back and hear a great preacher next week. Pastor Greg is amazing. But he says, you see, there are two ways that you and I get to destinations. Two ways we get there. One way is to look at the map, figure it out, or listen to the GPS. Does the GPS get on your nerves? You know, I've tried to change it to a male voice or something, because it always sounds like Jill when she's over there, especially when she's saying recalculating. You know, that means you have made the wrong turn, dummy. I have at least put it on a British woman's voice, and it makes it a little bit easier for me. But another way to get to my destination is to have somebody who knows where they're going drive me. Hello? It's a lot easier when somebody who knows where they're going is driving me, because then I don't have to be stressed. I don't have to listen to the GPS. All I have to do is sit in the passenger seat and allow them to drive. You see, let the person who's driving, who's been there before, guide you in all truth. Drive you to where you're going in life. A lot of folks are lost. A lot of folks in society in 2010 seem to be lost. Lost regarding the direction that they need for their life. Lost regarding the next step that they are to take. Unaware of how they're going to make it in the future. He tells the disciples here, don't worry, because I've got you a tour guide. I've got a tour guide for you, and He's going to guide you in the true way that you should go. He's not going to speak on His own initiative. Look at this. He'll not speak of His own initiatives, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose what is to come. So what He's going to do is, He's going to listen to me, and I'm going to tell Him, and His job is to tell you. The Holy Spirit's job in my life and in your life is to tell you and me what Jesus told Him. And remember, when Jesus was on the earth, He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So the idea is, the Father tells the Son tells the Spirit, and the Spirit tells us. Now listen, if there's a breakdown in our lives in communication, hear me, It's not between the Trinity. You better say amen, or you might as well just say, oh no, here we go. This is a message. The Father always talks clearly to the Son. The Son always talks clearly to the Spirit, and the Spirit is supposed to talk clearly to you. But why is He talking to you? To help you. To bring help. He says He is the helper. He will guide you in all truth. Look at this. He will speak and He will glorify Me. He will take what's Mine. He'll disclose it unto you. And He makes this statement that the Holy Spirit will disclose it unto you. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. Now back up with me to chapter 16, verse number 7. He says, I tell you the truth. Now here it is. It's to your advantage that I go away. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a curious statement to me. It's to your advantage. He says, you're going to be better off if I'm not here. Now, I wonder how many this morning wish Jesus was physically sitting right by your side. I mean, I could just go to Jesus. I could just ask Jesus any question I have about my life. I wouldn't have to guess. I wouldn't have to wonder because He would be there physically. Jesus says, if I were still there, you'd be worse off. Are you here? Are you getting this? He says, it's to your advantage that I go away, verse 7, so that the Helper will come. He says, if I stay here, the Helper can't come. And you need the Helper more than you need Me. And doesn't that sound like a strange statement to you? The Holy Spirit is more important in terms of your functioning on earth than if Jesus were sitting in this service right beside you. Now, how can that be? The third member of the Trinity, as far as living in our lives today, is more important than the second member of the Trinity. I know you don't think like this, but my mind does. I've already told the staff this morning, I am ADD, undiagnosed. I know I am. But my mind begins to play these games. But look at this passage with me. The second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, was more important than the third member of the Trinity when it comes to addressing the problem of sin. Because the third member of the Trinity couldn't do what the second member of the Trinity could do. Because the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, could not die. He had to be a man to die. So it was to our advantage that the third member of the Trinity stepped back, held back, so that the second member of the Trinity stepped forward, because only the second member of the Trinity could provide the redemption, because only the second member of the Trinity had a body that could die, and that once that death was accomplished, once that resurrection occurred, Jesus stepped back, He ascends into heaven, and sends the Helper. And He says, if I don't send the Helper, you're going to be worse off, guys. It's to your advantage. It's to your advantage. Come on, understand this. How so? Well, let's go back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. However, because He was tied to flesh, He was limited to the operations of His deity. So to the location of his humanity. Let me say it. Jesus was on earth. He limited the operation of His deity to the location of His body. When Jesus walked on water, that was an operation of deity, wouldn't you say? Because I don't know anybody here that walks on water. But He walked on water where His body was located. He wasn't one place walking on water another place. In other words, He operated to the location of His body because He was God. He was God tucked away in flesh. So He operated one place at a time. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Come on, are you getting this today? Because when I go away, I'm going to send somebody without those limitations. Hallelujah. Okay, let me put it another way. Let's say Jesus is right here on earth and He decides that He's going to come to Dominion Church today. How many of you believe He did? In the Spirit. But let's say He is in the flesh on earth today and He decides, I'm going to come to Dominion and I'm going to worship My Father. I'm telling you, all eyes in this church would be on Jesus. Everybody would be looking over at Jesus. Hey, there's Jesus. Did y'all see him? Did you see Jesus when he walked in? Everybody would want to talk to Jesus after service. And he's going to get everybody's attention. I would think that everybody in this place would want to take Jesus out to lunch today. Even though we'd be all excited, hear me, we would not all have equal access. Why? Because he's a man. Therefore, the reality of his deity is tied to the location of his humanity. We couldn't all take Jesus home with us because while he's God in flesh. But he wants to go home with each and every one of us. He desires to go home with you today. Come on, are you hearing? He wants to go home with you, so he says, in order to make sure that I can go equally home with everybody, I'm going to remove myself out of the spotlight. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit. Therefore, he's immaterial. You can't grab him. The Greek word for spirit means wind. That's why when the Holy Spirit was described in the book of Acts, he came as a rushing mighty wind. We don't see wind, but how many of you living on the Gulf Coast have seen the effects of the wind? Okay? You don't see it because the Holy Spirit was sent. You and I have equal access to Jesus spiritually, which we would not have if he were physically here without the Spirit indwelling in our lives. So he says, look at it, you'd be better off if I'm not here, so that you and I and everybody else can have each other anytime we need it. And you don't have to worry that you you have the Holy Spirit and you don't have me because we're of the same essence. Oh, that's good. And I'm going to send you another of the same kind. Why are you sending him? I'm sending him to help you. Anybody at Dominion Church need help besides just Tim and Jill today? To enable you to pull off what he has spoken in your life. Young people, God's given you some dreams. He's given you some goals. He says, I know you disciples are wondering, how are we going to do this? He says, you've got a helper. There's somebody that I'm sending you whose specific job it is to equip you and make you and enable you to pull off what I have spoken to you. Put it another way, there's not a Christian in this building today who's by themselves. Not one person. Not a single person who came alone and will go home alone that's by themselves. He said in chapter 14, the Holy Spirit, look at it, is with you. And he will be in you. He called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit where he comes and he takes up residence in the life of the person who believes. And he merges with your human spirit. Now, this is critical today that you understand this. The point of the Holy Spirit's merger is with your human spirit. And when your human spirit, that's the deepest part of your being. The human spirit, now wedded to the Holy Spirit, gives you the ability to communicate with God. He gives you the ability. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, to give your human spirit the ability to speak to God, to communicate with God, which goes into how you hear. How do you hear when the Holy Spirit speaks? You hear the Holy Spirit speak in your human spirit. I don't know about anybody else here, but I've never had God write an answer on the wall for me. Anybody pray that you would? I've never had God say in an audible voice, "Thus saith the Lord," to me specifically. I've been in a service before where the Lord spoke, and I knew it was for me. But here, get ready to write this down. Proverbs 16:9 is the way the Lord speaks to me. And you can borrow this verse. In a man's heart, he plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In a man's heart, he plans his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. Young people, you're saying, what am I going to do after graduation? Where am I going to go? Lord, you're calling me. You're telling me this. In a man's heart, he plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So the key is to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit resident in your life that's leading and guiding and speaking. Okay? Every Christian here has a helper. If you don't have a helper, you're not a Christian. Because the Bible says anybody who does not have the Spirit does not belong to Christ, Romans chapter 8. If you belong to Christ, you've got a battery today. You have been designed at some point to ignite. I had a problem. The heat wouldn't come on in the first church that we pastored. It was a little bitty church outside of Corpus Christi. And I thought, oh man, you know, we only needed heat one day a year almost. And that particular day, the heat wouldn't come on. And I'm sitting there thinking, as a pastor of a little bitty struggling church, we are going to have to purchase a whole new furnace. And I called the guy out, and he comes and he examines it. And I asked him, okay, well, tell me how much it's going to cost to replace this thing, to fix it. And he said, preacher, you don't need to replace it. He said, all your parts are fine. The problem is with your igniter. He said, your igniter is not igniting the parts that are designed to produce the fire. You don't have a problem with your parts. You have a problem with the igniter not igniting the parts. The igniter was just this tiny little bitty thing. All the heat. And man, it was a cold day in that south part of Texas. He said, between the igniter igniting what the parts are designed to do, it's not taking place. Our problem is we've got the parts. Our problem as Christians today is we've got parts. Come on, we've got the parts. If you've come to Jesus, you've got a new nature, or you should. You've got the parts. You've got a helper. The Bible says every believer has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The problem is there is a disconnect between the igniter and the parts. You think something's wrong with the parts, but really something's wrong with the connection, because the connection is designed to make the parts work. Therefore, if you seem powerless today, if you seem defeated as a way of life, everybody has moments like that, but what I'm talking about, your pattern is powerlessness all the time. There's a connection problem with the Holy Spirit. And if that connection is wrong, we no program that you run to is ever going to fix it. If you have a disconnect, you're not making connection. There's no amount of running on a treadmill of activity and life that's going to fix your problem, because you need the helper in your life. You need, which you have if you're a believer. He says you will receive power. You will receive power. Now, it's a guarantee today. The helper, the help that you need to do what you need to do, you already have. The help that you need to do what God wants done, you already have. But where is it located? He shall be, look at it, in you. You already have it. Now stay with me. Some of you are thinking, I'm not too sure about this yet. Sometime several weeks ago, one of the worst things to do is to be searching for something that you already have. The other day, I was at district council. It's my first district council in my position, and it was a very, very busy experience for me, and I had taken some notes for a presentation that I was going to make, and the notes were critical for my presentation. I couldn't find them. I looked through my briefcase. I looked through my suitcase. I looked through my hotel room. I looked in my car. I called my secretary. I asked Jill if she had seen it. I started out looking, kind of randomly looking. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of randomly looking anywhere and everywhere. And then I became a little bit more organized in my looking, like we do sometimes. And then I got real strategic. I tried to retrace my steps to where I had been when I arrived at the hotel. I go to the meeting, and I was thinking, Lord, it's just going to have to be about you. And I open up my Bible. And there it was. Sitting right in the passage that I was planning to talk about. Sometimes what we're looking for, we already have. It's been granted to you. The problem is disconnect. Okay? How do I get the full benefit? Now go to Acts chapter 1 real quick, and let me move through this. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. To whom he also presented himself alive with his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse number 6 of Acts 1. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You got to understand this. Verse 7. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. And he makes a contrast, and that big contrast is but. In the Greek, that's a serious contrast. Jesus has been teaching them, look at verse number 3, about the kingdom. They want to know, when is the physical kingdom going to come? Jesus says to them, it's not for me to tell you the physical kingdom's time to come when I'll come back and set up my earthly rule. I can't tell you that just now. But while you won't have the kingdom physical experience, there's going to be, that's an unknown date that somewhere in the future, what you will not have to wait for is the kingdom's power. You will have to wait for the kingdom's presence in physical form, but nobody knows when that's the physical kingdom is going to come but my Father who is in heaven. But what you don't have to wait for is the power of the kingdom. Because he said he was teaching them about the kingdom. And he was explaining to them about God's rule. When I come and I set up my kingdom, he says, on earth, I'm going to be running the show. That's going to be an undesignated time in the future, but you don't have to wait long, but you can know the kingdom's power now. Now, you're saying, Pastor Barker, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with the disconnect of the Holy Spirit is that we're disconnected from the kingdom of God on a daily basis. The power was always tied to the kingdom. Now, I want you to understand this. Some of you are asking, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the rule of God in your life. Some want a relationship with God, but not rulership. Or lordship of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament days, you see, they wanted miracles. They wanted the blind to see. They wanted the lame to walk. They wanted the dumb to talk. They wanted the deaf to hear. They wanted Jesus raising people from life. But you go back with me in your New Testament studies, and do you remember the miracle where Jesus fed 5,000, and that was just the men. So they were estimated 20 to 25,000 people there that day. And remember after Jesus performed the miracle with the little sardines, and you know they wanted him to be king. And they said, anybody who can take sardines and crackers and make a Moby Dick sandwich, we want him to be king. Okay? They wanted him to meet their needs without having to submit themselves to his rule. Okay? When he saw what was in them, they wanted the benefits without his lordship. Watch this today. This is very important. It says, you remember this, it says, he removed himself from them. Benefits without lordship. We call it bless me. Lord, I want your blessing. Lord, I need your blessing. I want your benefit. I don't know about your kingship. You need to get the same thing that the New Testament. He departed from them because he didn't want fellowship with them. Why? Because they didn't want me for who I was. They wanted me for what I could do. He says he was explaining to them the kingdom of God, the rule of his life. Now, stay with me just real quickly. The fundamental reason why the power within us doesn't always seem to be helping us is that we're disconnecting from the king and his kingdom. Let me say that again. Or to put it another way, to get connected to the Spirit's power is a recognition and a submission to the king and his kingdom, where he rules and reigns in our life. So that raises a question today. Does he rule your life? Does he reign in your life? Or does he simply just get to make suggestions? Um, We have a lot of parents here today. And in our homes, we have rules. Right? Dads, you rule the home. Or you're supposed to. Just saying. With the mom's assistance. Just saying. You gather the kids around and you describe to them the guidelines. They come back to you and they say, well, you know, Dad, I hear what you're saying. But I need you to give me a little bit of time to process it. I'll get back with you. Just give me some time. Dad, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep feeding me. I want you to keep clothing me. Come on, parents, you got to help me because they've shut down on me. I want you to keep meeting all my needs, but I'm not sure that I want to be governed by all your rules. I know I want you to take care of my business, take care of me, but let me think about all these rules and regulations. Okay? And I'm sure that some of your guidelines I'm probably going to go with. Some of them, I'll probably be okay with once I think about it. There are others that just probably won't fit me. I know that you will understand. When at this point in the conversation, there probably needs to be a big pause button. Now work with me for a minute. The king and his kingdom would have something to clarify. Okay? In this house, we're not discussing. Hello? Let me tell you what we're going to discuss. We are going to discuss how, not if. We're not going to discuss if, we're going to discuss do. Because the king has spoken. Okay? Now, from a human standpoint, we're imperfect, but God's not. In Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, you don't ever read anywhere where Joshua took a vote. Joshua said, speaking for the people of his house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're going to live in my house, this is what we're going to do. Okay? Now, the fact that you might not do it everywhere else, that I can't have anything control of that, but in my kingdom, come on, I can go here. If you cuss, I can't have anything to do with that when you're not here. But in my house, you're going to tame your tongue. Come on. Now, if you determine that you don't agree, it's really no big deal. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time with this one, but if you don't like my rules, then you don't live in my house. You don't get the benefits of my kingdom. You say, well, Pastor Tim, that is so cold. No. If you're under my rule, then you have to expect and respect my rule. Jesus came to bring a kingdom where he would rule in the hearts and lives of people. And what he's going to do is share the communication and authority, verse number 7, and his power, this dynamic enablement that you and I desperately need in our life. I will not provide over people that I can't rule, Jesus is saying. Jesus is not debating here. How many times have you told your kids, I'm not going to argue with you? Abby, she always had a question mark at the end of every response. Why? Thank God she's kind of grown. She's in college. She's a sophomore at Southwestern, and praise the Lord, she's traveling today with one of the ministry teams. I'm so proud of her. But it's a miracle that she made it to almost 20 years old. It's a miracle that I'm standing here. It's not in prison somewhere. Because she always said, I'm not going to argue with you. The Holy Spirit is postured in Scripture as a dove. The Holy Spirit descended from heaven and it rested on the shoulder of Jesus in the form of a dove. Now this is so, so incredible. I was in Krakow, Poland on a mission trip one time, and we were outside this gorgeous cathedral and there were pigeons everywhere. People brought bread and seeds, and you had to walk through that. Literally thought that they were going to attack you, but you know what I noticed? Not one dove around. If a dove is one of the most sensitive birds that God ever created, now stay with me. If a dove sensed or sniffed anything that would irritate them, it would fly away. It wouldn't hang out where it was irritated. The Holy Spirit is very, very, very sensitive. And where it sniffs anything that's contrary to the King or His kingdom. That's why His first name is Holy, and His second name, His last name is Spirit. Because when He sniffs anything that's in conflict or competition with the King or His kingdom, what He'll do is exit the communication portion. Let me wrap it up. He doesn't leave, because with the Spirit we're sealed into the day of redemption, but we lose connection. Here's when you know that you're a kingdom person. You know, we have layers of courts in our American judicial system. And when the Supreme Court speaks, everybody else has to adjust. The final authority of law, the Supreme Court, all other decisions are canceled or reversed. And here's how you know when you're a kingdom person. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't distract me right now, this is big." How do you know when you're a kingdom person? When you adjust your decisions to the rule of God, even if you don't agree. It's the nature of the Supreme Court, and if God is the Supreme King, you adjust. I said you adjust. When the dove sees that you are in line with the will of God and the King and His kingdom, the battery is engaged. And power is revealed. You shall receive power. How do you know when the power is working? He tells us. Look at verse number 8 of Acts chapter 1. He tells us. How do you know, Pastor Tim, when the power is working in your life? You shall be my witnesses. He says in John chapter 16, when the helper comes, He will glorify me. Don't miss this. He doesn't say you will do witnessing. He says, you will be my witness. The focus here is on be, visibly and verbally. You don't say, He didn't say here, you're gonna get signed up for another program. You're going to be something that you're not. How do you know when the helper is helping you? Because you're being different than you used to be. You're not being different than how you used to. The stuff that you used to, I mean, you now become a representative both visibly and verbally. I mean, think back with me. A few days before Acts 1, these men were scared to death. Look in your Bible. Running for their lives. You know, afraid of the Jews. Hiding out. A couple of days ago, the two on the road to Emmaus, they were discouraged. They were afraid. A couple of days ago, Peter was denying and he was cussing. I don't know that man. A couple of days ago, Thomas was saying, "I don't think I believe." A couple of days before that, they were scattered all over the place. But when the Holy Spirit kicked in the book of Acts, come on, read it with me. People were asking, "Are y'all drunk? Hello?" And all because you aren't acting right. But if you look over in Acts chapter 2, verse number 14, the Bible says, Peter stood up. Now, I don't drink and I haven't. But if he was drunk, he probably couldn't have stood up. Okay? But he stood up and this same Peter who denied and cussed previously, Peter stands up and he says, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's too early for that. But what you're seeing is what Joel the prophet prophesied about, that one day the Spirit of God was going to come, and all of a sudden this scared man has a boldness and a confidence, and a change occurred in his life. Yes. Yes. Come help me. I want us to sing a chorus in a minute. How many of you remember Plop Plop Fizz Fizz? We're not going to sing that, okay, by the way. Okay. But we would, the commercials, some of you that are my age or so, what a relief it is. You place these two, young people, just imagine. You place these two Alka-Seltzer tablets in some water and you watch this volcanic eruption occur. It's really cool if you put it in Sprite, by the way, but that's not what you're supposed to do. Jesus drops something inside of you. Two tablets called Holy and Spirit. And He dropped those two tablets in your new nature that are designed to bring a change. And a change in your upset life. Change in your dysfunctional family or marriage. Plop, plop. So that you can discover, oh, what a relief He is. Stand with me today. See, to the issue when you take on the positioning of the King and His kingdom, when you take on the positioning of the King and His kingdom in your life, He turns on the battery, which allows you to become something that you aren't right now. Let me just tell you, nobody's disqualified today. Nobody. Doesn't matter what you've done, nobody's disqualified. God, if God can use Tim Barker, He can use anybody here today. He will turn on the battery, which will allow you to become something that you're not right now. And this is it. He just needs to know that you know. He just needs to know that He's King. You hear me? The only qualification today of being used of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit so that He ignites hearts, is for you and me just to say, Lord, You really are King. You really are. You really are. And it's like the old songwriter said, You're King over all the kingdoms of my heart. We're going to pray in just a moment. And I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you before we sing this song.
Man, I want to just for a moment, we're going to, don't think this is interrupting the service, but we want to connect with God in this service, and we're going to allow Him to come pray for us as a congregation. But as a body, we want to connect with this ministry and the 300 churches that He oversees in our denomination. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to give. And so if you need to sit down, grab a checkbook, grab whatever, we want you to be able to do that. But our ushers are coming in place, and if you need an envelope to record your giving, to record that, we're going to do that right now. Because how many of you have been blessed by this ministry? I mean, what a word. I believe that there is a season in which we are experiencing God in such a way that we need to be so connected into that communication with the King and His kingdom. It's so much bigger than Dominion Church, although this is our vision to reach Leak City, but it's about His kingdom. It's about believers, and it's about people coming into the fellowship of God, not the assemblies of God, just His kingdom. And so we're going to do that right now, and I'm going to pray over this offering, and if you're prepared to give today, man, let's do that and really bless our secretary treasurer and his wife. Father, God, right now, Lord, we just ask that you would take this offering, Lord, and connect it with his ministry, connect it with their heart for the local church. God, I pray that it would just multiply right now. God, that would just, Lord, give your kingdom a B12 shot. I know you don't need to, you don't need our money, you don't need anything, God, that we have. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would just take this moment and, Lord, continue it into all the other churches. And God, we praise you and give you glory. And everyone said and prayed. Amen. Ushers, you can take up this offering.
Sing with me.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Come on, make it your prayer.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Can you sing the verse part?
Fill all the hungry.
Are you hungry today?
And empty within. Restore us, O Father. Would you revive us again?
Come on, sing. Holy Spirit,
thou art welcome in this place.
Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you in just a moment. But maybe you slipped into this service today and your life seems to be spiraling out of control. Everything that you attempt to do seems to turn up nothing. You're to the point in life you're just saying, I can't do this anymore. I need help. That's you. Just lift your hand real quickly. I want to pray with you. Yes. Come on, who else? Come on, who else? That's me. I just need help today. I need my help comes from the Lord, and I recognize that as a result of being in this worship service. Come on, who else? Anybody else? Real quickly. I need help. Yes, yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Who else? I just need help. Come on, listen. Let's establish something before we pray. Either you need to lift your hand or you already have at some time or another. It's all level ground here today. So don't be embarrassed. If you need help today, you need help. Just say, that's me. I need help. Yes. Yes. I sense there's a couple more. Yes. Thank you. Come on, somebody else. I just need help. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Just need help. We've all been there. How many of you would say with me, Pastor Tim, I just feel like there's times in my life that I don't feel the connection. I don't feel like the battery's charged. I don't know what it is, but I identify with the word today. I just need that connection to be clear. I need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. I need Him to drive. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, that's the majority of us today. I just need Him to drive. I'm going to get out of the driver's seat, and I'm going to become the passenger of my life. I want you to do something with me. I want you, if you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't, I want you to come, and let's just stand as a family around the front of this church. Just a moment, we're going to pray collectively. You may have lifted your hand on the first. You may have lifted your hand the second, or maybe you didn't have an opportunity. But I want to come, everybody that will today. I need connection today. I just need the Holy Spirit's connection in my life. That should probably be all of us. I just need the Holy Spirit's connection in my life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Maybe you're standing there and you're kind of reluctantly wanting to come, but you're saying, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be different than I am. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I want to pray for you in just a moment. If there's still opportunity when we pray for you to come. As we sing, let's sing it one more time while we're waiting. If someone else still needs to come, some of you lifted your hand, I need help. Your help comes from the Lord today. I want you to recognize that when we begin to pray. Your help comes from the Lord. It's not going to come through my prayer. It's going to come from the Lord. So you identify with the helper today that wants to take up residence in you. He wants to be visible. He wants to be verbal through you. But then I want you to recognize today, God, I need a connection. I need a recharge today. I need the Holy Spirit to direct, to lead and guide my path. Come on, sing this with me. Of mercy, thou art aware. Come on, tell Him this today, folks. Come on, right here at the altar area, right at your seat. Come on, tell Him this. You're welcome in this place, in this body that you created. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today. You're welcome in this place. I recognize a need for your kingdom, for your kingship. I recognize a need for your lordship and your rulership over my life. You're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in my life. Lord, remove anything that's not pleasing to you today. Thank you, Lord. Omnipotent Father, you know it all. Deal with those things today, Lord. Speak into my life today, Lord. You're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in this place today, Lord. You're welcome here. You're welcome here today. I want you to pray with me collectively. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every man, every woman, every young boy and young lady that's in this place today. I pray, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit will take up residency. That the power of the Holy Spirit will take up residency. That we'll not just be who we've been, but Lord, that the deposit into our new nature, the Spirit that's been deposited in our new nature, I give you the authority to sniff out the things in our life that are not pleasing to you, that irritate you, and deal with those things, Lord, so that we will be reminded of this life not belonging to us, but it is about your kingdom and your kingship. It's about your ruler and your rulership of our life. It's about you being Lord and your lordship of our life. Every area of our life. Father, we position ourselves out of the driver's seat today. We position ourselves into the passenger seat and allow you to take control of our life. Lord, for those that came forward today that need help, I pray that the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will send another helper. And that helper will lead and guide and direct us. And he will be with us, Lord, when with every decision that we have to make, whether it's personal, whether it's of our business, whether it's of an emotional touch that we need, you will help us in every area of our life as long as you're Lord of all of our life. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to sniff out those things that irritate. Those things in my life, in the lives of these that have come forward today that irritate. Sniff out those things in our life. We don't want you to fly away. We want your presence to be with us. And we want to recognize that your presence is with us because we are the witnesses being what you have called us to be. To Leak City, to south part of Houston, to South Texas, and around the world. Let this church be a church that's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. full of the power of the Holy Spirit resident in the life of every believer. And Lord, begin it in me. Come on, make that your prayer. Begin it today in me. Begin it today in me. I bless you, Lord. Come on, can you just tell him that right there? I bless you, Lord. I glorify you, Lord. You are worthy. I need communication, Lord Jesus. I need direction. I need guidance, Lord. I glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor, for such an inspiring word. And how many of you can say, man, that's just where I was at. That's where I was at today. And as a body of believers, man, we need his power. And we need a charge. I need him to lead me to my keys that I lost this weekend. I need the connection of God. We're so excited that you came to worship with us today. We're so excited that, man, you received something that was of substance. And you know what? As we depart and as we go, we're just going to pray corporately and lift up Christ so that we can lift him up every day of the week out there. As we pray, as we end, hug somebody's neck and tell them, do you got the power? Father, we thank you, God, for this day. God, we thank you for what you're doing here in this church and around the city, God, in church in the park and God, in our own homes. God, we thank you that you are charging us up. God, that you have put something inside of us that will ignite us, not just for a moment, God, but for a lifetime. And God, I pray that you would just send us, God, that we would be more than do, we would be your witnesses, God, for a lost and dying world. We praise you and give you all the honor and glory. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.